सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समशत्रौ च मित्रे च तथा मानापमानयोः शीतोष्णसुखदुःखेषु समःसङ्गविवर्जितः तुल्यनिन्दास्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेतस्थिरमतिः भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः। नाउ डिस्क्राइबिंग दिस भक्त दि ज्ञानी भक्त who is both wise as well as totally devoted. Thus we can understand this as the description of the characteristics of a person who is wise or a person who is devoted. Further Lord Krishna says, Tulya Ninda Stutihi. The same lines. Tulya Ninda Stutihi. One for whom? Ninda and Stuti. Ninda is censure. Stuti is praise. Ninda is called dosha kathanam. Stuti is called guna kathanam. So we call this censure, ninda. When somebody announces or reveals our shortcomings, our defects, our doshas, we call it ninda. Stuti is guna kathanam. Somebody, on the other hand, is praising our virtues. We call it stuti. Tulya ninda stutir mauni. Again, for the wise person, the explanation is one only. Meaning that he sees where this is coming from. And it applies to what? The praise also applies to only his personality. The censure also applies to that, because there is no identification with his costume, therefore, he knows this do not apply to me. Going back to the example of the actor playing a role, knows that in the play somebody is praising me, that is praising my costume or the role. Somebody is censuring me, also to the role. One who transcends the role has no problem with either the stuti or ninda, meaning with praise or censure. So, as I said, this is called a real maturity. This is a description of ultimate in emotional maturity. When we become free from the influence or impact of stuti and in all these pairs of opposites, they do not impact us. So less and less our identification of the body-mind complex and more and more identification of ourself, then the things happening at body-mind complex do not concern us much. Where there is strong identification, then stronger the identification, greater is the impact. So stronger the identification of my son, greater the impact. Whatever happens there immediately affects me. But my neighbor's son, there is no big identification. What happens there doesn't affect me. Both of them are in the same school, studying together, same thing is happening to them. Both of them are successful, but one person's success makes me happy, the other person is like, okay, theek hai. So how it is our identification that creates different reactions in us? So more identified I am with my ego. All this ninda and stuti, censure and praise, or honor and dishonor, or even friend and enemy, all of these are the perceptions of the ego. Ego means a sense of individuality arising from an identification with body-mind complex. That I am a small little entity. Ego is always a small little insignificant entity. So more insignificant I look upon myself, more likely I am to be impacted. What is meant by inner purification? Call it emotional maturity. Call it inner purification. As I said in the earlier class, it is about likes and dislikes, these impulses, which inhibit the manifestation of my true nature. If no likes and dislikes, my true nature will manifest. It happens now and then. When we are in the midst of nature, for example, you know, from a busy place, we come to Gurukulam and take a round here. And mind just becomes pleased with the beautiful gardens and the flowers and the peace and, you know, the environment that obtains here. Or somebody comes to temple and that happens. Wherever, you may go to a place which has such an impact upon you that your mind just becomes quiet. At that time all worries and anxieties automatically drop off. In spite of ourselves, because of the impact. Sometimes some people's presence, or some situation, some place. But we do have experiences now and then, that we go, Swami, this is a very peaceful place. So in that place, I find myself at peace with myself. At that time, in my mind, there is no attachment, no aversion, no likes, no dislikes, no anger, nothing. It is the impact of that place or situation or a person or whatever it is that has managed to release momentarily my mind from these opposite pulls. It's being either pulled in opposite directions. That's why there is no peace. When that pull is not there, I find myself that I'm at peace with myself. If you take moment to observe that moment, you find that at that time you don't need anything. When I am momentarily happy, not because my desire is satisfied, not that kind of happiness, but the happiness that comes because you are in the midst of nature. When you are playing with a child, or, you know, such occasions where it is not happiness coming from a gratification of either a sense or my ego. It is not happiness coming from gratification. It is happiness because the cloud of these reactions is cleared momentarily. In the sun of my own self become, there is a glimpse of that. Just as sun is covered with clouds, and the clouds momentarily move away, you have a glimpse of sun. Usually there is sadness. Swami calls it, that is the... There are two, acute problem and chronic problem. So chronic, we are all patients of chronic sadness. Chronic is always there. It becomes acute only when a situation, like in Arjuna's case, it becomes very acute. Then you seek some solution. Otherwise it's okay, you get used to it. Well, we are all used to sadness and depression and stuff like that. It's a normal thing. When, however, something happens and that sadness becomes pronounced, Then I seek help, as Arjuna did. But anyway, the point is that usually that cloud of sadness is always there. Some anxiety, some worries, whatever, is always there in the background. It may not be very evident to us. And usually we try to avoid that sadness by keeping ourselves busy in one way or the other. So we try to escape from our own self. So a lot of escape distractions are there, and thus we keep ourselves distracted from our own self. But they say, because of pura punya, it is not that a flower has done it, some pura punya has done it. Because of fructification of some virtuous deeds of the past. That is when that flower can give me happiness, not otherwise. You know, even the nature can give me happiness only because of a punya. Because same nature may not give you happiness. And Swami says the disciple has always enjoyed coming to this beach, you know. We enjoyed the ocean and, you know. But unfortunately that is where he had problem with his girlfriend or whatever it is, or wife or anybody, you know. And so that's where he got separated. That's where something happened. So now when he comes to beach, that's what he remembers. Beach can no one make him happy. As I said, it's not something that makes me happy. My own self. The fructification of my past punya or virtuous deed clears that crop. Or for that something becomes, of course, a nimitta or instrumental. But let us say that our usual experience is that where we are in the midst of nature. Beautiful panoramic view. Very peaceful. At that time we feel happy. For no reason at all. So at that time that cloud of sadness has cleared. I have a glimpse of myself. That is the glimpse of my own self. Swamiji, don't say flower is beautiful. When you enjoy the flower and say flower is beautiful, say I am beautiful. You are enjoying beauty, not a flower, beauty of yourself. But flower facilitates me to enjoy the beauty of myself. So there are moments when we find ourselves all right without any need being satisfied, that the true nature of myself becomes evident now and then. Again that cloud of sadness comes. I look at somebody else, immediately everything comes back and I'm where I was. We do have experiences when momentarily this cloud of sadness or agadvesha clears. That is our true self. If you want to meditate on ourselves, remind of that. That is myself. At that time, if that is my state, at that time I will not be affected by anything. That time, because there is no demand. My ego has moved away. Therefore, if somebody says something, somehow I, you know, sometimes there are times, you know, when our mind is so serene that somebody insulted you, it doesn't touch you at all. Because you are identified with something at that time. So what am I identified with? Identified with ego, of course, or this upadhi, my intellect, etc. Then everything will affect me. There is a moment when I'm identified with myself, I become free from all the effects. Wise person is always like that. So tiltul janinda stutihi. Whether you praise him, you censure him, you know that it doesn't affect me. Who am I? I'm the one that transcends everything. I'm like the ocean. Praise is like putting few buckets of water in the ocean. Censure is like taking away a few buckets of water from the ocean. The fullness of the ocean doesn't get affected by a few buckets of water here and there. And so the fullness of the self doesn't get affected. Whether a few buckets of praise are added or a few buckets of censure are taken away. But this becomes a value for the aspirant. Okay, praise, it's a part of life. Censure, part of life. Don't identify. If praise makes me happy, that means I'm identified with the ego. If censure makes me unhappy, it's identification with the ego. Tulya ninda stuti mauni. On the character of the wise person, mauni. He is silent. Mauna means silence. Silence of speech. Really speaking, mauna should be a value of the mind. So in 17th chapter, Lord Krishna describes mauna as silence in the mind. Manah prasada saumyatyam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshuddhi rityedata tapo mana samuchyate manah prasada saumyatvam maunam. While describing the discipline of the mind in 17th chapter, Lord Krishna places maunam, silence, at the level of mind. Shankaracharya, this is the silence. Maunam means he is silent at the level of mind. There is no conflict. Because there is no demand. All demands create conflict. When demand is satisfied, then also there is reaction. Not satisfied, then also there is reaction. No demand, no reaction. In its fullness, it is free from all demands. And therefore, the mind is free from reactions. So, maunam need not be equated to freedom from thoughts, it is freedom from all conflicts or reactions. So, there is a peace in spite of thoughts. Peace does not necessarily mean absence of thought. You can be at peace in spite of thoughts. Maunam, one who enjoys, is silence in the mind. Therefore also, there is silence at the level of speech also. Here, therefore, the translation is discipline in speech. Meaning that, when we talk, very often we are compulsive talkers. It is not we who talk, it is something that makes me talk. Something is inside which is bubbling to say something. If I do not say something, I become uncomfortable. If without saying I become uncomfortable, that means that saying has become an impulse. Here, a wise person doesn't need to say anything. He may say things, but not out of compulsion. If a situation demands something, he says. But not because he is compelled to talk. So we can say maunam, silence of speech, is freedom from compulsion to talk or compulsion to say something. What's the compulsion? A discomfort inside. That's the compulsion. And that makes me do something. So saying also is an action at the level of speech. So Lord Krishna says in the third chapter, not even for a moment a person can remain silent, meaning without doing something. So we are all compulsive actors, meaning that either at the level of body, a level of speech, or level of mind, what is happening? Mostly out of compulsion. I can't remain silent. My mind doesn't remain silent. It keeps on going around out of compulsion because of inner discomfort. Wise person or a devotee is free of inner discomfort. Therefore, there is no compulsion while he talks. That's all is important. It's not that you should stop talking. That as a discipline, that is good also. As a discipline, observing silence is okay. Nothing wrong in it. One of the tapascharya, one of the penance. But ultimately, what we want is disciplined speech, which Lord Krishna will describe in the 17th chapter. How, or as Shankaracharya says, Natu vrtha vakyam samucharitam. One may not utter even any unnecessary sentence or word. And I will not utter any unnecessary, if I am alert about what I am talking, then nothing unnecessary will come. We wind up talking things that are not necessary, by that we hurt others or we get hurt later on, because we are not alert, awareful while we are talking. It is some impulse within myself, either my anger or resentment or something within me for that person makes me say things, which I later on regret. But if you are alert, not only alert, but you are happy. You are happy with whatever there is. In that case, there is no occasion for saying something that is unbecoming. So wise person either is silent because there is no need to talk, or when he talks, what is appropriate, that's what comes out. What is necessary? How much is necessary? What is necessary? When it is necessary? Not that he doesn't know how to talk. There's no need to talk. Whenever necessary, otherwise he can't teach. The fact that the wise people teach means they do a lot of talking. But there also, what is necessary? You see, when Bhashyakara writes his Bhashya, what is necessary? Every word has a reason to be there. No word is... He doesn't enjoy the luxury. He doesn't allow himself the luxury of using an extra word. Where also a synonym is needed, you use it. Not needed, when one word is enough, don't use two words. The Swami says, when one word can do the job, don't use two words. If you can explain a simple word, don't use a complicated word. Don't use difficult words when simple words are available. So, as far as the aspirants or seekers are concerned, maunam or silence or discipline at the level of speech becomes valuable. But as I say, all of this is expression of highest emotional maturity. And we find As our mind gains purity, meaning freedom from likes and dislikes, to that extent we attain that emotional maturity, to that extent we find ourselves displaying these values automatically. Each one of us displays this value, I'm sure, the extent to which we are free from raga dveshas. Santushto yena kena chita, satisfied by whatever comes on his way. Santushta, content. Yena kena chit, with whatever it is. The person is happy with whatever is. When can I be happy with whatever is around me? When I am happy with myself. Atmaneva atmana tushta. In the second chapter, the wise person was described as one who is content with himself, by himself. When I am satisfied with myself, I find that I am automatically satisfied with everything else. Meaning that my dissatisfaction about things other than myself ultimately originates from my dissatisfaction about myself. This we have discussed millions of times. That the basic human problem is dissatisfaction with his or her own self, which is a product of ignorance. Complaint towards myself results into complaint towards outside. What is it, the complaint? Because my demand is not satisfied. Somebody has failed to satisfy my demand, therefore I complain, I blame. But before that, because my own self did not satisfy my demand, therefore I have a complaint against myself. And that comes out as complaint towards somebody. So as far as Vedantin is concerned, we can trace everything to ourselves. Why am I behaving like this? This person is acting like that. That is all right. But by acting, what does that person do? That person manages to push some buttons within me and makes me uncomfortable with myself, and that discomfort is manifesting itself in the form of this behavior. That is, we should know. It may not go away. Our behavior may not change right away, but at least we should know what the actual cause is. Otherwise, you know, we are always trying to remove the cause. I think that this outside is the cause. I keep trying to change there and retain myself as I am, so cause remains. I find that in spite of changing everything there, still think Swami has not changed. Because I should bring about change where it is required. I'm not saying don't be too hard on yourself, but at the same time, we should at least know where the change is required. This complaint results from what? My dissatisfaction results from what? Ultimately, my complaint from myself, towards myself, my dissatisfaction from myself. Santushto yena kena, as long as my santosha or contentment comes from outside of myself, I cannot be satisfied with whatever comes, then I must have my way. If my satisfaction comes from something outside of me, then it must satisfy my raga dvesha, then alone I can be satisfied. If my satisfaction comes from food, then food should satisfy my likes and dislikes. Then only I can be satisfied, not otherwise. Satisfaction comes from clothes, from anything else, then my demands will be there. This should be like this. Meaning that we get satisfaction from fulfillment of raga dvesha, not from that thing. That thing only becomes instrumental, ultimately in satisfying my likes and dislikes. So, generally our satisfaction comes because of satisfaction of our likes and dislikes. And that makes us dependent, that makes us slave. And that is what causes uncertainty, whether something will satisfy me or not. Therefore, anxiety is always there. When satisfaction comes from outside, it is not possible that I can be satisfied with what it is. Then it must satisfy my needs. Santushto yena kena chita. Whatever comes, you satisfy. Shankaracharya quotes in describing this, explaining these words, or the expression, how the wise person of bhakta is content with whatever is, quotes a verse from Mahabharata. Yena kenachid achanna, yena kenachid ashitaha, yatra kvachana shayasyat, tam devaha brahmanam viduhu. There's a whole section in Mahabharata. In Shantiparva, who is the Brahmana? So Mahabharata describes who is the Brahmana. Brahma Janadi Brahmana. Real Brahmana is the one who knows Brahman as a self. That's the ultimate description of Brahmana. Although Brahmana is by jati, by birth, but then what is really, who can really be called Brahma? Who should really be called Brahmana? A number of verses are there. From there this one verse is quoted. Yena kena chit achannaha. Whatever comes from achada, meaning that whatever garment or cloth comes, covers himself. Yena kena chit ashitaha. Whatever comes as food, he appeases hunger. The reason why they said we need particular kind of food is because of emotional need. All we need is food to appease hunger. What our basic need is to appease hunger. For that food is okay. I mean, food means if you're a vegetarian, the vegetarian food. I don't say that yena kena doesn't mean it's whatever comes, no. But whatever your basic, values or rules are. But within that, in vegetarian food also we have all kinds of demands, of course. They're all emotional needs. No, I must have dosa. I must have idli. I must have paratha. I must have this. I must that. Well, Swamiji, that's all I've been eating for. So continue to eat. All I'm saying is that here, yena kena chit, whatever comes, he is content with whatever food comes on his way. Because he does not depend upon food for his pleasure. We are not satisfied with whatever food comes because we are dependent on food as a means of pleasure. So we don't only want food for satisfying our hunger, but we want food for satisfying our mind, our emotional need for pleasure. He doesn't look upon anything as a means of pleasure because he's become free from that. So I can't wear any kind of a cloth, it has to be certain kinds. And the Swami is no exception. These clothes are, they're not, they're certain kinds. Come from certain place, made in certain way, have certain dimensions. Not anything. And so any cloth will not satisfy me. It should meet with my requirements. So that means that I'm looking upon cloth as a means of satisfaction. It's inner dissatisfaction that makes me dependent upon things for my satisfaction. This description says that he is a wise person who is satisfied with himself. And therefore, whatever food comes, it's a luxury. For this person, everything is a luxury. Whatever garments come, luxury. Yatra kvachana shayi syad, he sleeps anywhere. Doesn't need that only, my bedroom must be like this and my bed must be like that. Anywhere. I know I must have bed sheet of this color, of this make, and the wall must have this color. I can't sleep anywhere, Swamiji. It must be this kind of condition must be satisfied. He doesn't put condition on anything, that's all. We put conditions on everything. Food, have this condition. Clothes, have this condition. Bed, this condition. More conditions we put, more vulnerable we are, that's all. Because it's more likely that my conditions will not be satisfied and therefore all possibilities of my becoming unhappy. Tam devaha brahmanam viduhu. Even devatas call him brahmana. It is not that anybody who satisfies, the idea is not action that is called brahmana, it is what is within him. It is his perception of everything, coming from perception of himself. That I am all right as I am. Everything is all right as it is. He literally enjoys everything because he enjoys himself. Santushto yena kena chida. Aniketa. Niketa means a dwelling, a house or a place of dwelling. Aniketa. This fellow has no place for dwelling. He is, what do you call it? He is without home. Not because of foreclosure or something like that, on the street. But he has no place to call it, he has no place to call his own. He says, I should say, he does not call any place his own. He does not need to call any place his own. Remember this. He does not need any place to call his own. Understand that when I call this place as mine, that mine also is emotional need. I cannot be happy with just any house, it must be my house. And so that mine, I feel more safe, I feel more secure, I feel more homely. Thus there is a need to call this place as my place. He doesn't have that need. He may have a place also, you know. There may be a place where he may be dwelling. But then, it is not my place. People who live on pavement, there also they have places. At night they will fight with them. If you take away his slot, then, you know, in pavement. It doesn't belong to anybody. But I am sleeping every day, every night I am sleeping here. So, this is my place. Under a tree, my place. Meaning that we get so used to anything that we get attached to that. We get attached to a slot on a pavement or under a tree, or then you get used to it, attached. And then something changes there, we cannot put up with that. Because my comfort comes from my attached fulfillment of attachment. Aniketaha. He does not need to call any places. So, Swami, I have taken your lesson, no place is mine, so I can enter any house. Don't do that. No, I have all given up mine, so any shoe I can wear, no. You will suffer, you know, be ready for consequences. But the idea is that, okay, whatever footwear comes, as long as it fits my foot, I mean, you know, that's okay. But then, whether it is brand name or which name or that name, doesn't matter to me. As long as it protects my foot. As long as it protects me, that wearing is okay. Yes, this body does need protection of heat and cold and rain, etc. So we do need a dwelling. In here you need much more sophisticated dwelling than what you need in India. In South India in particular, it's always hot, hotter and hottest. And there also things are different in North and South, because in the hills it can get pretty cold, so those needs are different. In South, so they don't even need upper cloth, they can just bare body. So you find all South Indian people, they don't even, many of them don't even wear stitched cloth. They don't need it. There is no cold, there is no winter there for all practical purposes. And therefore, they need not even cover their body. That's how all gods are also, without any cover, upper cover. Gods also don't wear any stitched cloth. These days, of course, they make all kinds of garments, stitched, etc. and all that. Because we want to see our reflection there. But then, devatas don't wear any stitched cloth, and people also don't wear. That is all right. But the point is that there is no need for a given thing, that's all I am saying. It's just freedom from emotional need, that's all. What is meant by emotional maturity is freedom from emotional need. What is emotional need? Somebody should comfort me. Somebody should make me happy. Somebody should make me feel good about myself. So clothes, we empower the whole world. We empower clothes to upset me, because if they don't satisfy my needs, even a garment can upset me, shoe can upset me, a chapati can upset me, anything can upset me. Why? Because I have empowered those things by demanding that there should be such and such, then alone I can be happy. And thus by, with my ragat vishas, I am empowering the whole world to push my buttons. Emotional maturity is so important. Becoming free from emotional needs, not physical needs, emotional needs, is very important. And that does not come by itself. So, here, santushto ye aniketaha. Aniketa means one who is not attached to any dwelling, that's all. Doesn't have any sense of ownership on anything. We need ownership again just to feel safe, I feel secure. So, reason for calling something as mine, because that sense of ownership gives me a sense of security and comfort. Because I don't derive it from myself. Aniketaha, sthiramatihi. All of this is possible because sthiramatihi. What is sthiramatihi? Whose knowledge is firm. Mati means knowledge here. Sthira means abiding. Sthira means firm. One whose knowledge or perception about himself is firm. What is perception? I am Brahman. I am the self of all. I am one non-dual. I alone am. Vice sthira, that's called abiding knowledge. Meaning knowledge is free from all the obstacles, pratibandhakas. What happens is we do have knowledge. But Swamiji, in real life, the questions are asked during the evening satsangs. During the whole day they listen to the classes in the evenings. But then real life, Swamiji, how to do this in real life? What it means is that what is meant by real life is when our buttons are pushed, that's called real life. Because the world manages to provoke us, that's all. That's real life. And therefore, whatever we understood at that time disappears. That's what your Swami has taught you? You know? Then we have to hear all these kind of sentences, you know. So you're going to Gita classes for all the years, that's what your Swami has taught you, that's how you behave? Because at that time, otherwise when we go home from satsang, we give a long lecture, you know, to those people and they listen at that time. But then their time comes. When we get angry or when we get upset. Meaning that at that time, this mati, meaning that my knowledge is not available, is not firm. It gets shaken. So as long as these likes and dislikes are there, so long I am liable or I am vulnerable to being provoked. And at that time, my conviction is not strong enough. Sthiramatihi. One whose conviction is strong and therefore real life or no real life. His buttons are not buttons, you know, all buttons are not there or all wiring is removed from buttons, that's all. People keep pushing buttons, but wiring is removed. So you can push those buttons, but no lights come if there's no wiring. Fans don't rotate, no wiring. And so all wiring is gone. Maharaj Swami used to give another example of a screw. You can keep tightening the screw as long as the screw has those threads. If all threads are worn out, keep tightening. So world will tighten the screw, all right, if your threads are all worn out. You are no more empowering anybody, that's all it is. Sthiramati, knowledge is firm. Meaning perception of duality, he is very clear that this names and forms and duality, etc., is at a certain level, but that's not the ultimate reality. He knows in through diversity there is unity. In the name and form there is wholeness, limitlessness alone is manifesting as that. He doesn't lose sight of that. Just said Lord Shiva is the three eyes. So with the two eyes he sees also names and form. The third eyes he also sees the substratum. So not only he sees waves, he sees water also. That many of the waves does not in any way deny the oneness of water. And so also manyness of names and forms does not deny the oneness of Ishvara, of Satchidananda, Vasti Bhati Priyam, of the Self. Sthiramatihi. That means that this knowledge should become firm, not being shaken up. That is why abhyasa is required. Again and again practice this knowledge. Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. Mind, remember. Because mind is so deeply steeped in taking itself to a body that again and again the habit comes back. Giving reality to the world, that habit comes back. Looking upon body as a self, that habit comes back. One has become free from the habitual error also. In this, sthiramati, one who abides in the knowledge, then all the characters described become just spontaneous because that is the nature of the self. He has to make no effort, you know, display these characteristics. Bhaktiman me priyo naraha. That naraha, that human being is very dear to me. So this is very important. As at the end, our Bhashyakara will say, look, all of this makes you dear to the Lord. It's one thing that Lord is dear to you, it's another thing that you are dear to Lord. It's one thing that you like the president, another thing that he likes you, you know. They're different things, isn't it so? President says, I like this person. So then, that's it. your work is done. You like him is one thing, you are his devotee. But he becomes your devotee. That's a real success. I mean, it's an example. But you are devotee of God, all right, when God becomes your devotee. How can God become devotee? That's how the bhaktas describe. Lord Krishna says in one place that I follow my devotees. So Lord Krishna is wandering in Vrindavan, bare feet. He says, wherever my devotees, I follow them. Why do you follow them? So the dust which flies from their feet will fall on me. So when you follow somebody closely, and particularly when you're walking in dust, then dust flies off. So dust which is flying off from the feet of my devotees, that falls on my body. And that's what purifies me, or whatever, that's what makes me so happy. And so Lord also is devotee of his devotees. That's a way of saying it. The idea is that, of course, the Lord loves everybody. You cannot. Swami, you mean that only bhakta, bhakti man me priyonarha. That means Lord Krishna also seems to have this kind of partiality, that he also gets flattered. So whoever is his devotee, that he likes, and he is partial to him. And those who are not devotees, he is cruel to them. So what is the difference between my uncle and God? That means that you can also, God also is vulnerable. And so you can also influence him. So when you perform prayers, are you influencing God? Yes and no. Ishvara loves everybody because he can't be otherwise. He is my own self, and therefore what is there is nothing but love or grace. But then why does Lord Krishna says, I love my devotee? What it means is that it is devotee who feels or experiences that love, other fellow does not. That's the only difference. His grace is always there. Water, shower is for everybody. You can enjoy the shower. If you go with an umbrella and then you complain, but then this water is not sweating me at all, I'm not enjoying shower. Because an umbrella is open. Another fellow has closed his umbrella. He's enjoying the rain. He's not enjoying rain. He's not the rain is partial to him and is cruel to you. You also need to do something. As I said, so this krupa, apeksha, apeksha, the krupa also has an expectation from us. If favor is done without any rhyme and reason, then there will be no order at all. There is no incentive for being a devotee also. So favor is always there, but we experience the flavor when we make ourselves favorable to experience that flavor. So we should make ourselves favorable for experiencing the favor. This is what this person has done. Bhaktiman me priyo naraha. Devotee such as this devotee is very dear to me. This morning we will conclude here. Because lots of programs are following, so we'll conclude here with a prayer. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadahaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Ishvaro Guru Ratmedi Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyoma Vadvyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha Hari Om.